Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Hope you have had an amazing week. Been an absolutely packed one for me here with loads of clients now crawling out of the woodwork, so to speak, having had their COVID jabs. More and more people here in the UK now, of course, are having had their second jab. And therefore, some of those who have been reluctant to come out are now coming out, and I've seen a sudden influx in the number of patients through my doors. So that's good for them, I guess, because they're getting comfortable, and it's good for me because it means that I'm busy. And that, of course, means I can pay my bills again. So, I'm thankful for this time at the moment and how things are going. Hopefully for you personally, things are picking up as well. Hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you've even been able to book a holiday. Who's been doing that? Have you been on those websites looking for that dream hotel or that lovely cottage? I'm guessing you're probably going to stick to your own country, whatever country that might be, because, well, I know for me, the incentive is to stay in this country because the last thing I want is to go on holiday and then find that the holiday abroad that I've been on, that country has become on the red list and I've got to stay in a hotel when I get back here for 2 weeks or, in quarantine. So hopefully you are going to find something more local to you, as in this country, and find something really special. And remember, wherever you are, you can make some amazing, amazing memories. Memories for the future of that first holiday post-lockdown, post-COVID restrictions. Things are certainly looking up. Boris has announced that this coming week we will be allowed to hug one another again. Yay! Who likes hugs? Hugging is supposed to be really good for you, supposed to really help you to lower your blood pressure and just to be generally good for you. And they reckon that a 20-second hug is what you should give. Now, obviously, it depends on who you're meeting and what your relationship is, but a 20-second hug is supposed to really make a difference in the other person's life and actually supposed to, I think there's some science behind it. I can't put my finger on it right this second, but I think there's some science behind it regarding the hormones released, etc., when you are hugging for that period of time. What else has been going on this week? Well, Sunday I had my parents over, meeting in the garden, of course. No hugs this week. And my dad gave me an update on some of the sporting stuff that's been going on in the past week. Because I haven't even had the time really to listen much to the news, let alone the sporting news. Anyway, he informed me that that afternoon Lewis Hamilton had won the Spanish, I believe, Grand Prix. So well done to Lewis Hamilton. And I think he's just broken the record for the first person ever to get over 100 pole positions in the Formula One. So that's a pretty amazing record. I think Michael Schumacher was the next closest with 60-something. So pretty amazing record there from Lewis Hamilton. The other thing my dad shared, because he's a Leicester supporter, okay, Leicester City football supporter. I don't really support any team for football. I'm not really into football that much, although I can enjoy a match. But anyway, Leicester City, I think he was saying that they lost 4-2 to Newcastle. And at one point, I believe they were 4-0 down. So he was not best pleased. Their run of good form has come to an end by the looks of it. Anyway, if you're not a Leicester City supporter and if you're not a Formula One fan, you're wondering what on earth am I going on about and why am I sharing these things. Well, I'm just sharing it because, you know, there's loads going on in the world, and some of the things that you tune into may or may not have an impact on your particular life. I mean, there are so many things that could make a difference in your life, but often we don't even notice them going on. We aren't in tune with the things that may be relative to our health or to our general well-being, our mental well-being. And later on in the show, we have got a special guest on who is going to be talking about some ways that you can actually help with your mental well-being. Okay, because over the course of the last year, I think many people have suffered with some mental health issues as a result of the pandemic and the lockdown and the being unable to get out and about and do what we're used to doing and socializing. Before we get on to that guest, we're going to have some other news, which we are going to be just really going through various things that I pick up on. And we haven't done it for a couple of weeks, so it'll be a couple of weeks worth, so it'll be a fair number of bits of news to read out. So let's get straight into some of those items. And the first one I got actually is from diabetestimes.co.uk. And this is one where my daughter is probably going to be glad that she's got type 1 diabetes, not type 2 diabetes, because she has certainly got also arachnophobia, which of course is being scared of spiders to a huge degree. Anyway, this particular news item, the title of it is Tarantula Venom Could Provide Future Type 2 Diabetes Treatment. Molecules found in tarantula venom could offer a new treatment option for people living with type 2 diabetes, researchers have said. There's an early stage research funded by Diabetes UK found that a molecule, I'm not even going to go through the name of the molecule, was able to reduce blood sugar levels and decrease food intake in mice. And apparently a team from Ulster University, led by Professor Nigel Irwin, had previously uncovered that the venom of a Mexican blonde tarantula can increase insulin production and lower blood sugar levels. But up until recently, that wasn't really clear how it happened. Well, apparently they've been making a synthetic version of this molecule, and they found that it increased insulin secretion from pancreatic beta cells in the laboratory situation more than twofold. Apparently the venom molecule may be controlling channels on the surface of beta cells, acting as the gatekeeper that allows other molecules to flow in and out of the cells. The molecule also helped improve a beta cell growth and didn't damage the cells, making it a potential future treatment that warrants further investigation. So watch this space for more news on that. Next one, also from Diabetes Times, is a big announcement. Apparently there's been a 2.1 million research project into type 2 diabetes and heart disease. This is to investigate how to prevent heart attacks and strokes in people with type 2 diabetes. Diabetes UK and the National Institute for Health Research have teamed up to develop and trial a new healthcare package that could benefit tens of thousands of people with type 2 diabetes across the UK. The study's of particular interest to me because it's linked to people who've got a previous history of foot ulcers. Because obviously if you've got a foot ulcer, then your diabetes is not usually very well controlled, and therefore you're likely to have had it for some time. You're likely to have developed some of the problems, which can also lead to heart attack, strokes. So apparently, University of Leicester will investigate how many people with a history of foot ulcers go on to experience heart disease or strokes. And they're going to investigate whether or not things such as age, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, geographical location might also put people at higher risk. So those two items I've just shared there, you can go onto the diabetestimes.co.uk website and have a look at that. The next few are going to be, or a few more than a few, actually quite a number of articles I found on the diabetes.co.uk's website. So do go there for any of the next ones, which I'm going to be sharing. But before I share those, we're going to have a quick song. And as we're sharing the news, I thought we'd better have Huey Lewis and the news. And as we also love to share the love around here, let's play The Power of Love. I hope you enjoy it. That was Huey Lewis and the news and the power of love. Certainly, love is a powerful thing. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. We're just busy trawling through all the news items regarding diabetes and things related to that. Later on in the show, we've got an exciting interview with a previous Olympian, Ewan Thomas, who is going to be sharing a little bit about how to improve your mental health by getting outside, getting out in the open. Anyway, before we do that, let's get back to these news items. And all of the coming ones are going to be from the diabetes.co.uk's website. And the first one definitely struck me because, you know, being a podiatrist and helping people with their feet, with their lower limbs, sporting injuries, and being a runner myself, although I haven't been running recently because of an injury that I developed, this item says, study suggests running is bad for health. Wow. Okay, this is a big one. You know, many of you, and I can hear my parents probably saying it to me, you told you so, you're going to wear your knees out. So, yeah, apparently almost half of runners who participate in the activity to keep fit are likely to incur an injury at some point, researchers have said. A new study involving 200 half-marathon runners has found there's a high risk of damaging the knees, calves or Achilles tendons at some point during their running career. And apparently the injury risk is equally high no matter what the age or gender of the runner or the running experience that they have. Doesn't seem to impact the outcome either. The study's been done by a doctorate student called Jonathan Jungamalm, and he was studying runners who had been doing it for at least a year and who cover about 15 kilometres a week, or at least 15 kilometres a week, I should say. And also they had to have been injury-free for about 6 months. All the runners were aged between 18 and 55, and they were asked to complete a training diary where they documented their runs and whether they experienced any pain or injury. And apparently they found that a third of the participants were injured over the course of the study. And over half of those injuries were reported in either the knees, the calves, or the Achilles tendons. Apparently, a few of the injuries were long-lasting, not too many of them, but all the injuries prevented the runners from exercising as usual. Those who had previously been injured before the study were more likely to have been affected again. And that brings me back to myself, because I've got this injury at the moment, and that's why I'm taking a little bit of time out in order to try to get rested again and fit again in order to be able to start running again. I really miss it big time. I love going for runs. The feeling is so great, and when you come back, it's so great. And yet, at the moment, I'm not able to. I probably could do, but I don't want to get injured again. So I'm going to take it easy. And of course, it is really important that you do. If you are a runner and you're thinking, oh gosh, maybe I should stop, well, go and see your podiatrist. Go and check, get your feet checked out. Make sure that you're not putting undue stress through your Achilles, through your calf, through your knees, up into your hips and your back. And of course, you're not putting undue stress on your feet themselves, because there's a lot that podiatrists can do to help you with that, myself included. If you want to speak to me, by all means, you can do. You can go to our website, circlepodiatry.co.uk, and you'll find a way there. You can actually even book a virtual appointment. So wherever you are in the world, if you want to speak to me about podiatry and the way that we can help you if you are a runner, or if you are, for that matter, just a walker, just somebody who uses their feet and wants to keep them healthy, then by all means, get in touch with either ourselves at Circle Podiatry or with a podiatrist local to you and get checked out, because we can literally make the difference between you having an injury or not. Okay, advert over. Let's get back into the news items, shall we? I can just sense some of you groaning here, those of you that aren't wanting to get fit, because this is another fitness one. And this one is low volume, high intensity interval training, otherwise known as HIIT training, is the best way to improve fitness. We all know that we're supposed to be taking part in activities to keep active every week. The World Health Organization recommends that we should have 150 to 300 minutes of moderate physical activity, or 75 to 100 minutes of vigorous activity in any given week. But a recent study has found that participating in shorter bouts of this high intensity interval training, involving as little as 4 minutes of high intensity exercise per session, can be just as effective for fitness levels. And this is something actually which I am intending looking into actually, because it has, previous studies have actually shown that just doing as little as a 4 minute HIIT session 3 times a week for 12 weeks was enough to improve blood sugar levels, fat in the liver, and cardiorespiratory fitness among people with type 2 diabetes. So by all means, do look into that. High intensity interval training, HIIT, check it out. Then there is another news item on diabetes.co.uk, which is increasing exercise routines to more than 5 hours a week reduces midlife hypertension. Now, this is as a result of a 30-year trial involving 5,000 adults aged between 18 and 30 who were all asked to record their exercise habits, their medical history, and how much they drank and whether they smoked. In addition, the research team measured their blood pressure, cholesterol, and their weight. And apparently, even if you were choosing to do about 5 hours of exercise per week as a youth, then you had an 18% lower risk of developing high blood pressure later in life. And the risk was even lower in those people that continued with their exercise later into their life. Getting away from exercise, let's talk about eating meat, shall we? There's two articles here. One is a study finding lean red meat can be consumed as part of a healthy diet. And the other one saying that gorging on red meat is not good for heart health. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on these ones. Some of you, of course, will be vegetarians. Some of you will love meat. Some of you will be very sensible with how much you eat. But those two titles there suggests to me that the motto of all things within reason, all things in moderation, all non-harmful things, all good things in moderation are okay. And I think that's probably the answer with this meat as well, red meat. It says gorging on red meat is not good for heart health. Well, don't gorge on it. Just have a little bit now and again, and make sure it's lean, and that should help. Do check out those articles. Again, they're on diabetes.co.uk's website if you want to read any more about it. The next article is a COVID-19 one. Oh, you thought we'd got away without having any of those this time, didn't you? Because there have been so many throughout the last year, articles to do with diabetes linked with COVID. And it's largely because people with diabetes, of course, are very prone to getting worse infections when they do develop COVID. Anyway, this article, COVID-19 causes neurological damage but does not infect the brain. So apparently, although COVID-19 doesn't directly infect the brain, it can cause significant neurological damage. A team from Columbia University has published results from the largest and most detailed brain and COVID-19 study ever carried out. In all of the people they were studying, I think there were about 40 patients, they didn't find any signs of virus inside the brain cells at all. However, they did observe pathological changes in the brains, which could explain why severely ill patients experience confusion and delirium and other neurological effects, and also why people with mild cases may experience brain fog for weeks and months. Okay, the next one is obesity linked to severe COVID-19 infection. So yeah, I told you that the COVID-19 is going to be coming into this as usual with news items. But this one, I think we all know it. I'm going to share this one because at the moment I am probably as unfit as I ever have been. And I've put on some more weight again as a result of that. And well, I guess if I'm honest, as a result of just life getting a bit the better of me recently. So anyway, I want to read this out and take it in myself, because I think it's really important that if you are overweight, if you are obese, maybe need to think about dieting, think about making sure you try and get a bit better control of your weight, including myself. Overweight or obese people are more likely to be severely unwell should they become infected with COVID-19. Teams from Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the University of Queensland say the chances of needing invasive respiratory support are much higher among those who have a weight problem. In the trial, they looked at data from 7,244 people, of which nearly 35% were overweight and 31% obese. That's rounding those figures up. There was a 73% greater chance of needed invasive ventilation among the obese people, although no link was found between weight and COVID-19 death. The University of Queensland's Dr. Kirsty Short, who co-led the research, said obesity is associated with numerous poor health outcomes, including increased risk of cardiometabolic and respiratory disease and more severe viral disease, including influenza, dengue, and SARS-CoV-1. Given the large scale of this study, we have conclusively shown that being overweight or obese are independent risk factors for worse outcomes in adults hospitalized with COVID-19. And then the last one, this is quite groundbreaking and very interesting. Game-changing weekly insulin therapy is deemed safe and effective. Apparently, it only needs to be administered once a week for those with type 2 diabetes. Okay, so it's people with type 2 diabetes who are on insulin. Instead of having a daily, there's this particular one, this particular insulin therapy, which only needs to be administered once a week. So those of you that are on insulin and hate needles, and you've got type 2, this may be something for you in the future. Apparently, there have been a couple of small studies, 200 people, 150 people, and they have served as stepping stones to a larger phase 3 clinical trial program currently going on. And it's designed to evaluate the efficacy of once weekly insulin administration in patients with either type 1 or type 2. So actually, it may come into its own in use for people with type 1 by the sounds of it. So that is all that I could find this week, and it's actually all we've got time for this week. So if you want to hear any more about those news items, go along to the diabetes.co.uk website. And for the ones before the previous song, it was diabetestimes.co.uk's website. I hope you've enjoyed listening to all that. We've got a song for you now, which has been chosen by our next guest. And the song is by Oasis, and it's called Wonderwall. I hope you enjoy it, and stick around for you and Thomas after the song.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blind. Maybe
the day, but they'll never throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you're not to do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads that lead you there were winding, and all the lights that light the way are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. I said maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me.
That was, of course, Oasis and Wonderwall. I hope you enjoyed it. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for listening to the news earlier on. And now we have got a amazing guy. He is, he's been on the show before, for starters, so it's well good to have him back on again. He is an Olympic athlete. He is a UK record holder. He is also a European record holder and a Commonwealth record holder in the distance of 400 metres, and both solo and also as a relay team holder. So he is he's an amazing guy, got fantastic, and those records, by the way, he did these runs back in 96, 97, and they've held since now. So pretty impressive stuff. So thank you so much, and welcome to the show, Ewan Thomas.
Okay, it's great to have you back on the show again, Ewan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Okay, we just played the song that you chose there, Oasis and Wonderwall. Please, just share with the listeners why you chose that one.
I really like Oasis, and I think that song was around at a time when my career was kind of taking off. I think it was sort of 96, 97, around that sort of time, and it was getting played all over the place on the radio, and it was just reminded me of summertime, and I don't know, it just the lyrics to the song, I just really like it. It's a song I never get bored of. I love it.
It is a song you can always switch on and sort of it can lift your spirits, I think. It's a good song. So thank you for choosing that one. Last time we had you on, it was in just before Get Outside Day, and you chose what you were going to choose today almost. I think the Fire Starter Prodigy one that gets you going. That's a real cracker on that one. But last time we were talking about Get Outside Day because we were literally just before. Now, I know that was September, and I'm assuming there's not another Get Outside Day today. I assume that's an annual thing. But I know you're here on behalf of them, but with a slightly different twist to it, I think. Well, tell us what you're here for today, what you want to talk about.
Well, for me, getting outside is something I try and do every day because for me, you know, I'm not afraid to admit it, I'm quite an up and down character. And when things are going great and life feels all roses and sunshine, I'm the most happy, go-lucky chap there is. But sometimes I get my days when I feel a little bit low. And if I'm honest with you, I think a lot of people have struggled with lockdown. And it's just been an uncertain year or so. And for me, my go-to place, if you want, is the great British outdoors. It really is, whether it's going for a walk with a dog, taking the boy out in the pram, or going on my own for a little bit of a run. No pressure on the time or how far I'm going to run, just getting out there and having a bit of me time, really. It's my time to kind of switch off. And I think a lot of people have felt trapped because of lockdown and COVID. I think they have felt a little bit isolated as well, people being locked inside their houses. And for me, sometimes the hardest thing is to open that front door and take that initial step. But I've never gone out for a walk or a run and come back feeling worse than when I left. So, yeah, I'm here just to say, listen, Britain's beautiful. The sun is shining today. It's not always shining, but that doesn't matter. You can still go for a walk, go for a run. Just get out there and breathe in that beautiful air.
I like the way you say I like to go for a little bit of a run, because I think you've been doing a little bit more than a little bit of a run since we last spoke, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'm in training for an absolutely mammoth challenge. I'm doing a 100-mile race. So I did a 50-mile race 2 weekends ago, which was absolutely it was horrific. And I must admit, I finished in a lot of pain and I thought there's no way I can double this distance. But I think the mind is a very powerful tool. And, you know, that's what I'm here to talk about today. I think if we use our minds wisely, it's the best thing we have. And also the mind, unfortunately, can work against it at times. So, you know, being a get outside champion, really, I'm here just to talk about the benefits of getting outside. And I can only talk from my own experience, but I know people must be able to relate to it. Getting out there does always make me feel slightly better. And, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I'm not saying I wake up every morning feeling really low. Not at all. But I do always feel much better after being outside when I come back in.
Well, yeah, likewise as well. And you know, I felt a little bit of a prisoner recently myself, because I had an injury earlier on in January. I like to run as well. Not quite as far as you. But, I had an injury back in January, and I took a month out of running, and I missed it so much. And I went back into it, and I won't go into the details. But anyway, literally I got it. I was gradual in getting back into it, but it came on again. And I've literally been really massively to the point I had an MRI scan in the end to try and find out what was going on. And I've got, you know, it's now nearly 2 months since I last ran, and I'm just getting to that point where I think I'm going to try it again.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you know, injuries is part and parcel of life. It's like anything in life. You're going to come up against setbacks, and it might be in the workplace. It might be in a relationship breaking down. And I think that's the thing with the mind I've come to accept in life. There's going to be days when things are going brilliant, but life's got a habit of kicking you between the legs when you least expect it. And that's just life, you know, take the rough with the smooth. And it's the same with your injury. And the worst thing is when things aren't going well for you, and I'm sure you felt this, you often feel very isolated and very alone. Like, why me? Why me? Because you feel it's only you going through that. But there'd be lots of people out there who've got injuries who can't run, or people who, you know, might have lost their jobs, or things are going against them. And I think it's just trying your best to find that level of normality in your mind where you know you might be going through a bad patch, but the sun will come out again. You will get better, your injury will heal, and you'll get running again. You may have to walk before you can run, and it's the same with everyone. Whatever setbacks you have, you just got to keep faith that things will get better. And I think, you know, one thing lockdown has proven, I think the amount of people now who are actually getting outside and doing exercise, the subscribers to OS Maps, that's gone up by 78%. So that just shows you people do benefit from being outside. So, you know, whether it is, as I said, just a walk, or I think a lot of people sometimes feel intimidated by exercise because they think, well, I'm not a runner. I see these people running in the village or in the park. They're really quick. I can't keep up with that. But you don't have to be at that level. Nobody judges you. So just maybe start by opening that front door today, sitting in the garden on the balcony, or going for a walk around the block. Just get out there and I think take a bit of time out. We all live in a very fast lifestyle where there's a lot of stress and a lot of pressures put on us. But sometimes we don't sit back and slow down and take time for us. And I think that's the beauty with OS Maps. You can download a route near you, and there may well be a beautiful place to walk just outside your doorstep. And you're not aware of that because we're all used to our own routines, and we get stuck in our little rat race of doing what we do. But, you know, go for a little adventure, go for a little walk at the weekend, do something different. It will make you feel great.
Yeah, I think another thing is, another angle on that as well is that doing something to give to someone else is also a great way of actually making yourself feel good. As they say, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And maybe just perhaps thinking of somebody who you can contact and say, hey, look, how's about us going for a walk? You know, even if it's just literally speaking to somebody elderly who you can now contact outside and you can actually take them for a walk in their garden, even maybe. That can make such a big difference to that particular person. It's not all about...
Definitely. I'm almost ashamed of saying this, but I've lived in my house for nearly 15 years and there's some of my neighbours I've never spoke to. But yet during the first lockdown, I left a couple of notes for some elderly people on my road and said, if you need anything, give me a shout. And I don't think that I didn't even know their names, but now I talk to them on a daily basis when I see them. And, you know, and I should have done that anyway. But sometimes in life, we're all busy doing our own thing and we like our privacy. But yeah, reach out for definite, you know, maybe organise, if you've got a family, a little treasure hunt in the garden or go to the local park and go sightseeing or whatever you want to do. But I think suggesting to walk with someone's a beautiful thing you can do. And I met up with a friend during lockdown and he wasn't getting out of his flat at all. And he actually suggested to me. And at first I thought he was doing it to help me, but having spoken to him, I think it was for him as well. Like he was saying, oh, do you fancy going for a walk? And I went, yeah, that sounds good. And I think we both really needed it, but we didn't reach out for ourselves initially. We weren't saying, oh, hang on a minute, I'm going through a tough time, do you want to walk? We both casually went, yeah, that sounds nice. But we were helping each other, but also we were helping ourselves. So yeah, reach out to that work colleague, to a friend, and just suggest it. Do you fancy going for a walk at the weekend, or, you know, just going for a run or getting our bikes out? Yeah, exercise is great. We all know the benefits of exercise and the endorphins it releases and the feel-good factor it can have. But as I said, sometimes it's that initial getting out the front door and doing that bit of exercise, which is a tough bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's it can be a real well, there's people going to be listening who are going to be thinking, you know what, yeah, I've really changed during lockdown. I've started going outside more. But there's going to be those people as well who are probably in a very, very bad place still, even though we're coming out of it, are still being affected by it. I was reading some of the stuff that came through before in this interview about it. They're saying that statistics show that before lockdown, one in four people were affected by mental health. Because, of course, this interview we're doing is because next week is Mental Health Awareness Week. Yeah. We're just trying to help people, lift people up a bit. But during lockdown, there was a threefold increase in the number of people reporting clinical significant levels of anxiety and depression.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me because you think of all those people who are isolated and before their only form of contact might have been speaking to someone across the water fountain at work or, you know, sitting across a desk from somebody, and all of a sudden they're working from home, that's taken away. And although I've seen to someone. So I think obviously the negative sides to this lockdown is there'll be people out there who don't have immediate family close to them. And, you know, I saw my mum and dad recently. It was the first time in 8 months, and they hadn't seen my boy in 8 months, and he's grown so much in that time. And I really feel for them because, you know, they're at the other side of the country on a Zoom call, and it's all very nice and well to chat over the internet, but it's not the same. So yeah, mental health has been massively affected for people, and it's the biggest killer for men under 40. I think suicide rates is huge. So, you know, as I know this doesn't work for radio, but as my top says on here, mental health matters. I'm wearing this hoodie for a reason. It really does matter. And I think sometimes people don't reach out, and they might take for granted that someone they know at work or a friend of theirs might seem very bubbly, and on the outside life is going great for them, but you don't know what they're going through internally. You don't know their own personal demons they might be facing or the personal issues they have. So there's no harm in saying, listen, I'm not feeling so great at the moment. I'm happy to say I reach out to people and say, you know, I hope everyone's having a nice day. If you're not, get in touch. Because, you know, sometimes it's really hard for people to admit they're feeling a little bit low, because people, there's a stigma around it still, and people will think it's a sign of weakness to say, I need a bit of help here. And it's not. It's a sign of strength. It's a massive sign of strength and courage to reach out and say, you know, do you fancy a chat? I'm not feeling so great. So, you know, be that person today. Pick up the phone someone. There might be a friend you haven't spoke to for ages because you think they're busy. They'd probably love to hear from you. So, yeah, mental health really does matter. And you know, Ordnance Survey, they massively encourage people to get out there and spend time with others. Or if you want to be on your own, be on your own. Just get out there and enjoy the beauty we have on our doorstep, really, because I think a lot of people don't realise that. You get stuck in your busy lifestyles and you don't realise what's around the corner. We're very lucky in this country. There's some beautiful open spaces. There's some really nice places to explore. And you know, go out there, do it. Do it with a friend, do it on your own, whatever makes you happy. Just try and breathe in some of that air. Do it today.
Absolutely. And I think even going out intentionally locally to somewhere where you might have been many times before, but you just go intentionally thinking, well, I wonder what gift from, I believe in God, what gift from God is going to be given to me in nature today? What am I going to see? What am I going to experience? What am I going to hear?
I remember I look out my window most mornings and it's different, you know. The weather might have blown some trees around, or today it's really sunny. It looks really vibrant. And it's just, you notice things all the time. And like you said, you might have your little set walk to the local shops, but you bury your head in the sand, or you're just looking at the floor. You're not looking up. One thing I try and do, and it sounds really stupid, and you know, people might think you're a bit strange, but whenever I go for a run, I make a point of saying hello to everyone I go past. I'll say good morning. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 people go morning. And other people might think crazy idiot. Why are you talking to me for? But I just think it's really nice, because that person you say good morning to, that might be the only morning they have of the day. They might not have anyone to talk to. And just that simple morning, and they say morning as I run past, it makes me smile. You know, I think it's a nice thing to do. So, listen, manners cost nothing, and being polite and nice to people costs nothing. And I truly believe in, you know, just try and be nice to your fellow man, because you don't know how much that simple smile on the bus or a simple smile across the road, it might mean to them. So try and be nice. Simple.
Absolutely. That's brilliant stuff. I know Ordnance Survey have got some tips, I think, on things that how outside can improve your mental health. Do you want to share any of those with the listeners? Or
yeah, I think if you go to the website, there's loads of tips, and obviously more importantly, there's lots of routes where you can go walking where you live. But you know, I think for me, the main tips would be open that door, even if you've got 20 minutes between a Zoom meeting today, breathe in some of that fresh air, go for a walk, phone a friend, and maybe just organise a little route. You know, it's very suffocating when you're stuck inside all the time. And you sometimes don't realise what's on your doorstep until you take that plunge and get out there. So, yeah, go outside, download some OS maps, have a little look of where you can go, and you might surprise yourself what's on your doorstep.
Mm. Something I've found helpful as well, I don't know if you've ever sort of recognize this or thought this. I've been doing a bit of a study recently, and what they were talking about there is actually, you know, a biblical principle of gratitude, of having gratitude for what life's given you. And they talked there about going back to some of your fondest memories. Now, we all have got some memories, but sometimes they're clouded by the present or by whatever we're going through. And I found it really useful just to be able to think intentionally again about a memory, and very often those memories are actually golden memories of a time when I've really, really, really just been joyful. Yeah. Very often those are linked to outside experiences, linked to nature experiences, something, you know, something that you saw, a bird that you saw, a view that you saw, an experience of nature. And I think you can still get the benefit. I'm not saying you shouldn't get outside, but some people can't get outside, but you can still get the benefit in your heart, if you like, of the beauty of nature and the beauty and of that outside, just by intentionally taking yourself back to a place you've been to once before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, in life, if you dwell on negative experiences, then you're going to feel lower. I feel if you look back at times in your life, as you say, where you were joyful or good things happened to you, memories of, you know, for me, it's always going back to my childhood. Things might have been different then, but, you know, going out swimming in the local rivers with my mates, being out on our BMX bikes in the fields playing football, you know, it was always outside. You know, my mum and dad would say, see you later. And I'd go out on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'd be in at 6 p.m. and I'd have 10p in my pocket. There was no mobile phones if I needed to phone home at a phone box. And it was great. And it was innocent, the innocence of youth. And it was just beautiful being outside and enjoying that. So yeah, I definitely think reflect on good times in your life when you're feeling low, and also realize there's other great memories to come. Your life's not over yet. You may have made some great memories in the past. Here's to making some great memories in the future. Get out there, enjoy the outside, and make memories that in 20 years time you look back on and think, oh, I remember that summer of 2021. I went to the Peak District, or I went for a walk, or whatever it might be. Make new memories.
Ewan, I'm going to have to go in a second. I've got to get to go to work myself. And I really appreciate your time today. It's been absolutely fantastic. Many thanks for your time. Stay safe.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. your global real feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.